Voices Radio Network.
The views and opinions of Muscle Minds is for informational and educational purposes only.
Better, stronger, faster.
Welcome back to Muscle Minds with Dr. Scott Stevenson. I'm Scott McNally. This program is brought to you by TrueNutrition.com. You can use our code ADVICES to buy some MPA Muscle Intrusion, just like I did, and a bunch of other cool stuff. Every time you shop with True Nutrition and you use our code, it helps to support what we are doing. Scott, welcome back to Florida. How was your weekend out in Colorado?
Busy, man.
Yeah.
The Armbrust Pro Gym is fucking awesome.
Okay.
Badass.
Yes. Of your top favorite gyms, is this, would you say it's right up there?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's, they call it the Mile High Mecca.
Yeah.
Obviously, Dylan is phenomenal.
Okay. Yeah, he is. He's a cool dude.
Aaron is wonderful. Yeah, really cool guy. He just took us up there, basically whatever we needed to do. You know, he gave us kind of free reign. Yeah, like lots of, you know, it's funny because there's, I was telling him, there's machines in there that I had seen that I would be drawn to that I've used in various gyms along my 35 plus years of training. Like,
yeah.
Certain machines that, like the converging plate loaded, I think it's a Magnum brand chest press.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That they had it undisputed in Tucson, Arizona.
Okay.
I've seen that just a couple other places. So he has one of those. So he has done exactly what, you know, I think a really good, savvy bodybuilding gym owner would, should, could do. Is picked up machines that are just badass whenever they come available. He's been compiling those for years.
That's so cool, man.
Yeah.
That's like, yeah, our dream. You know what I mean? Any bodybuilder's dream is to be able to do something like that, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm going to go out there. I funny, because I rented them, trying to whittle down my RV combination for just to kind of clear out the front yard. So it's like I'm collecting RVs.
Yeah.
And I'm mega with, and I'm going with a truck. And a truck camper.
Yeah, you were saying, we talked about that off air. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, right, okay.
Yeah.
So I rented a car there so I could be able to drive the guys around, and I thought to myself, you know, I really haven't driven like a big crew cab truck. I really wanted to get an idea of how much space there was just for the dogs. And
yes.
I've driven like a 36-foot RV, you know,
right.
Thousands and thousands. So I wasn't driving the thing, but so I just, it was an extra $40, cheaper than renting one here in town by itself.
Yeah.
Just upgrade. So I did that. I'm like, I loved it. It was perfect. Ended up staying at a hotel that was 3 minutes away from the gym, like literally.
Nice.
You almost see the gym that allows dogs.
Oh, perfect.
So if I want to stay at that hotel with the dogs, the people are super friendly. Just kind of a rundown Super 8.
Yeah.
But there was a bunch of RVs that were parked there in the back.
Okay.
It's safe. And actually, it's funny because, like, little things, like, you know, you go to a hotel, and like I had set up my kind of my computer spot,
right?
And they had the lamps that had like two outlets on the lamps.
I like those, yeah.
Those are so helpful. You'll go to like 4-star, really nice Hiltons or Marriotts, and like I'm having to like slide furniture out of the place so I can get an outlet to plug in.
Right.
You know that?
Yeah, I know what
right?
you mean.
It's kind of odd.
Yeah.
They had that there, and they had a fridge and a microwave in my room.
And it was cheap, you're saying, too.
It was cheap. It was the cheapest one I could possibly find. Like,
yeah.
It was, you know, actually, one of the guys who was at the camp, like, called it a rat trap or something like that because he had just driven by. He's like, oh, you're at that place. I'm like, it's not that bad. People were really nice there. And
yeah.
I mean, I think I said hello to a guy who looked like he probably was on meth. Like, he had yeah. that, like, you know, meth head thing. But it was fine. It was good.
Yeah.
So I, like, all this sort of all the hints are that, yeah, I should come back. I just want to come back and just, like, spend, like, a week.
Yeah.
And literally just get up in the morning, go train at the gym. I could just stay there, take the dogs around, go hiking around if I want to with the pups.
Yeah, yeah.
It's beautiful.
Did you?
I didn't notice the altitude at all.
Okay, that was going to be, that was my next question. Because I imagine that, So it's at Mile High Mecca. I imagine going there and training. I know that when I first moved to New Mexico, that was only at 6,000 feet elevation. And I was really excited. I got to my new apartment. And the first thing I did was, you know, started unpacking. And the first box I brought in, I sat it down. And then I was like, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I didn't even notice it until someone asked me, like, later on, the first day I was there. Yeah. I think Dylan asked me at dinner or something like that, and I had already gone to the gym and trained.
Okay.
And I did, like, some pump. Oh, I know what it was. I had done pump sets for legs.
Yeah.
So I came into this. So I came in, I was doing, and I started my workout that way just to kind of blast through it. I wanted to do the leg stuff, so I did that first. And normally I wouldn't train that way. I just wanted to keep on my training schedule.
Right.
So I'm doing like this. I did like 30 rep sets, you know, for legs, like this big round robin of like 10 minutes straight of leg training.
Yeah.
And I finished out with kind of a squat machine, which I normally wouldn't do as well. But it was a pretty friggin' brutal. And I got done. And he's like, is that altitude kicking your butt? And I'm like, no, this is just pretty much how I always feel.
Yeah.
And I paid attention. I didn't notice anything different. My heart rate, I mean, as far as I could tell, was the same. I didn't feel any worse. I mean, when you're somewhat dieted down or what have you, like, the workouts can be so friggin' hard. It's like, there's no much, it can't be any harder. So I just didn't notice. And I always train as hard as I can. So I just, no, it's fine. So I thought that was odd, but
yeah,
there was no heat and humidity stress though. Someone make a comment you're looking at there, or you look like you're about to tell me something.
No, I'm just reading. Yeah, we got a couple comments. Michael Nagler, Nags, as everybody calls him, called us his heroes. So it brought a smile on my face. That's cool, though, man. So, yeah, you jumped right in. It's not like you were hitting arms. You tackled legs. I still remember, Scott, when we went to Columbus, and it was the first. And now, I wouldn't get to call it actually training with you because we had a group of, like, six people. But
right.
We did work out doing the same exercises, and we worked out side by side. You guys were working together, and then Sarah and I worked together on another machine right next to you. And you had said, you were like, well, we could walk around the gym and do a bunch of different fluff and bullshit, or we could pick a couple exercises and really tackle it, you know?
Right.
I still remember you saying that. I like that attitude, too. So just get in there, and I'm sure whatever you were doing with legs, you got at it, you know? And even at altitude. Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah, both of my workouts were full body.
Yeah.
And one was, I just kind of had to double up.
Okay.
Because I knew I was going to train the next day. I had like an 8 o'clock flight.
Okay.
So I had to get up like 4, get my truck back and all that kind of stuff. But
yeah.
No, it's sort of like, I don't know, you have an opportunity to train at a gym like that. And
you can't pass it up, man.
I don't, that's the way I kind of think, you know. I got up the last day, so Sunday, and we had done the seminar before. And I just got up early. They didn't open the gym until 7, so I got there right at 7, and I squeezed it in, and
nice.
It happened. So yeah, it's a great gym. It's just all those, there's so many good machines. There's a really good vibe there, you know. I did you see Phil Heath? Yeah, I did see Phil Heath, but I didn't bother him. It was during the seminar, and he was talking to Brett Wilkins.
Okay, so you saw Brett. Did you get a chance to talk to Brett at all?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We went out to dinner the first night.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I remember you did tell me that. That's cool. He's a guy. So from what I understand, now I was lucky enough to be there at Junior Nationals when he turned pro, and I was working with that guy Joe Russo, who won his Classic, and then Brett won his Classic. They went up head to head, and then he beat Joe for the overall. So that was Classic. Then
does Joe live down here in Tampa now?
He's been down there some. He was in Florida. He moved back to Michigan, from what I understand. You probably did. You probably did. Yeah. He was sponsored by Blackstone, and now he's back in Michigan, from what I understand. We aren't working together anymore, though, after BJ wanted to help him, I guess, after he turned pro. So, right. I mean, what can you do? I got him to Junior Nationals. We took third the first try, and that was getting sick and him not following all the instructions. And second time, we got his pro card, and then we went to Chicago Pro, took sixth out of like 20 guys, which was there. It was a top six was the first call out, and he got prize money. I'd stick with me. I don't know. But then he went back to, I think it was, I can't remember if it was New York Pro. Nonetheless, though, he didn't do so hot. I'm not sure if he dieted, honestly. I mean, I don't mean to talk down, but I honestly, I don't know if he dieted or not.
Yeah, he didn't come in shape.
Yeah, but anyway, though, he was up against Brett. So Brett was, you know, he made it for Classic. Moves up to 212 this year. I hear he's going to Open.
Yes.
Talk about that, man. I mean, think about that, you know. It's freaking ridiculous that he's a go-getter. That's what it is.
When I first met Brett was at the Arnold, not this year, but the previous year.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He told me about training with you.
Yeah, and he just buried John and I, but I mean, he was doing heavier loads.
I believe
we were all training hard, but he was training with significantly heavier loads than us.
Yeah.
Yeah, he actually was outweighing me, I think, at the time, too, as well.
Yeah.
I'm like, I looked at it. I'm like, how in the flying fuck are you going to get down to the Classic? I just don't see this happening. And he had the fight, and actually, you know, I helped him out with, like, he literally just got down. He just had the battle to get his weight so low.
Yeah,
like you're just fighting your genetic predisposition to put on muscle mass, and so he was, I think, 256 this time.
Wow.
He's big. Yeah, he's real big.
I know he's been training with Adam Young. Did you get a chance to see Adam out there?
Yeah, he saw me and he said, I think he was with training, maybe actually training someone as their trainer. And
yeah,
just to introduce himself, quick hello. So yeah, he was out there.
That's cool. Yeah, he's a big dude too. And I know he works with Dave Kalick, and Dave also works with Dorian Haywood that trains out there too. Was Dorian around at all?
Dorian, I ran into Dorian in the gym. We chatted a bit. I actually invited him to come and swing by the seminar, which he did on his lunch break.
Yeah.
He's a chiropractor, and his office is in the same complex, the same building as the Armbrus Pro Gym. So he's like right next to there. So he just came in and sat down. I introduced him, and yeah, nice guy.
All three of those guys, they're just like, to me, they're good representatives of the sport. They're just like good dudes all around. You know what I mean?
Dave's a good guy. It was funny. I won't reveal exactly what was said, but you know, Dorian didn't, I mean, everyone wants to win, I guess, but he didn't place as well as he wanted to at the Tampa.
Okay.
And so I was just talking, chatting with Dave, and Dave just completely took accountability, took ownership of what had happened, and one particular thing in particular. And then when I was talking to Dorian, and I said, oh, you know, Dave said this didn't go so, he's like, no, I was just too fat. He's like, I'm like, okay. And he's also, he totally took ownership.
Wow.
So they both were taking ownership of, you know, what their roles were in not placing where they should be.
I talked to Dave too. And I know, like, this is how much he cares when something like that doesn't go the way that he wanted it to. Like, he does take it real personal. You know, it's like he looks at that, he analyzes it, he feels it in his soul. You know what I mean? And he's like, fuck, I'm not going to make this mistake again. That's Dave's attitude. I know.
Yeah.
So
he was not very happy with himself, but it was just cool to see that on both ends. Like, basically, I was just that wasn't in shape, and Dave realized what he had done, and that's what I said to Dorian. I'm like, that's a good partnership right there, where you both are, you know, owning up to whatever it is that you may or may have done. And it's, you know, I think it wasn't like Dorian. It wasn't like Dorian was saying, you know, Dave didn't get me in shape. He's like, I didn't do what I needed to get done to be in shape.
Yeah.
The way it came across. There was no blaming whatsoever. So that was pretty cool.
That's pretty, That is awesome, man.
Sick out there. She actually she was in the gym, and she took a picture of me while I was training, I think, and put it up on Instagram.
Yeah.
And I said, look who I found, like, sneaky thing.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I'm using my Apple Watch charging right now, but I use my Apple Watch to time the loading set. So I literally, sometimes I get messages that come through. I just blow them off. So, like, Ivana is, like, right behind me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not talking to her, but she's there. She's training. I'm training. And I look down at my watch to check the time, and I get an Instagram, and it says, tells me that she's tagged me in her story. And I'm like,
that's cool.
I'm like, did you take a fucking picture of me? I went up to effort, and she's like, no. Done. So, yeah, it was a nice five in there.
She did really good this year, too. She looked fantastic. Way improved.
That's Olympia. Coming too.
Yeah, that's right, man. Yeah. Oh, can I tell you my news, by the way?
This is the thing that you were tempting with, you're not going to tell me? Yeah, I want, tell me the news. Yeah,
I got tickets to fly out to Vegas yesterday for the Olympia.
Oh, sweet. So you are going.
I am cool. Gonna go. Yep, I'm definitely gonna, I'm going now. Yeah. So yeah. I'm excited. I applied for some. I'm not sure yet. Victoria has a connection with somebody that she works with that is getting us a place, I believe. So we should be squared away there. But I'm not sure where that's at yet. I know that the company was going to buy, or they're renting a house for everybody, but there isn't going to be any more room for us. So he's getting us, they're getting us a separate place. So we're all set. We are flying in Wednesday and then flying out first thing on Sunday morning, like bright and early. So there's going to be like nothing, no Sunday happening. But I mean, but we'll have a lot of fun, man, through Saturday. Yeah. You know,
Sundays can be fun. I don't know if you can change, but some days, like when everyone kind of goes to the gym, and that's like the day to catch up with the people you couldn't catch up with.
But I know, but it's the way the tickets were. There was no options. It was either that or like taking a red eye, one of the two, and get back like, you know, Monday morning type thing. So we'd leave at like, you know, 11 at night type thing. And I value my sleep, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I hear you.
So we'll have
just done that a couple times where I've been like, I did that the first year I went to the Arnold.
Did you?
I left on Sunday and I'm like, and like everyone was going to Elite FTS to train. And then there was like, there was another group of people. There was like three things, all of which I would have done. I didn't have a choice because I didn't get to do any of them because I went home.
Yeah.
I'm like, now I know, stay.
I applied for some media passes too. So I have a project idea similar to what I did at the Arnold. I want to basically just give the everyday guys perspective, you know? I mean, I'm no one special. I'm just like anybody else going there to see the show and have fun and to check out the expo and to meet cool people. So I'm going to bring the camera along with me and I'm going to document the whole thing. And, you know, like at the Arnold, I got a chance to kind of introduce the listeners to people that we've had interviews with, you know, have conversations with everybody along the way, you know, hey, here's Kenny Wallach, you know, for instance, and how's Kenny doing and what's he up to and, you know, where's he headed next type stuff. It's fun to be able to, the comments I got from the Arnold were a lot of people were like, hey, I would have loved to have been able to go, but you know, due to work or whatever, I can't go. And it was really cool to see these videos because it made me feel like I was a part of it. So I want to try to bring that experience to for the Olympia to everybody. Plus it's Vegas, you know, it's fun.
Will you live stream it and then on Instagram and then add it to your story, like make a highlight?
It depends on how things are going to go. I'm about to invest in a new camera rig, and what I'll probably do is it's either going to go to the Advices Radio YouTube or it's going to go to my own YouTube, which is going to be a work in progress. I may be starting a YouTube, put it that way, and some of the work that we're doing with Advices might start getting split off there.
Gotcha.
Yeah, because I just
won't be live then. There'll be some time to process it and then upload,
but real small time, you know what I mean? Like you know, it'll happen pretty instantaneously. The cool thing with like the new camera setups are with Wi-Fi, you could send that stuff boom directly to your phone. And then, you know, from there, edit and go. So I've got all the editing software in my phone. Any of those little short things, I can just record and then send and then go.
Yeah.
With a lot better quality, you know, using the new camera rig that I'm going to get set up. So hopefully the media passes go through. Dan Solomon, if you happen to be watching, we're coming out. So, yeah.
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 I know they have, like, cameras that, like, go on glasses and that kind of stuff. Like, I'm trying to think, like, the thing I was imagining of it was simple, you know, not nearly as extravagant as what you're talking about, is someone who just wants to like do an Instagram live story. So here I am walking through the expo, talking, and just literally like record like a helmet cam.
That'd be cool. Yeah. How about I could take this and take the camera out and you could get like the little head thing, you know, the little head strap. Yeah. And just plug it right on the top of your hat.
Oh, they have one? Oh, that's a Hero, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But I've got It, under all of this, there's a camera that's like this little.
Oh, yeah. I have a Hero 3 Plus, something like that. If anyone wants it, I'm trying to sell it. I have everything for it.
Isn't it crazy how like you get it and then a year later or even 6 months later, there's the new one? And
no.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's worth like 3 cents now.
Right. No. Mine's the 5, so it's worth 4 cents.
Yeah. Are they on 6 now already?
I think they're on 7, believe it or not.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, yeah.
That's smart, though. They know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Oh, here's an aside.
Yes.
I one small victory for the common man against the system.
Yeah.
So my iPhone 6S
yeah.
here. It still works for me.
Okay.
Still working. I was having problems, though. I was waking. It's been doing this, like, never was an issue. I just wake up in the morning, and it would show me, like, 100% battery, and then it would, like, all of a sudden just restart and tell me it's, like, 1% battery.
Huh.
And I always use a battery case.
Okay.
So I'm like, okay, I didn't know what was going on. I didn't worry about it. Never caused any issues. And then the day before I'm leaving, it starts doing that, and I can't get it to start back up again.
Hmm.
What the hell's going on here? And I went and I basically self-diagnosed it as the battery in the phone, not in the battery case, was dead. And because what I found, all the symptoms pointed to, I was basically just using the battery as a conduit to provide energy from the battery case to the phone.
Oh my gosh.
And now the battery was so fucked up, it was so degenerated that it wasn't even able to do that. So I had the next day myself a battery, and they come with little tools to replace your battery.
I've seen that, yeah.
Yeah, $22.
That was it.
If I go to the Apple store,
yeah,
they'd be like, oh no, can I interest you in an iPhone 10, you know, super duper S or whatever they have now?
We'll give you a deal.
I'm way behind.
Yeah.
It's like three i10s, I think. So they, you know, they had 7, 8. Was there ever a 9, or did they just go right to the 10?
Yeah, I think they went from 8 to 10. I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
So anyway, so $22, and I couldn't get around to it because I was so busy. I went home during the lunch break at the seminar, and I'm like, okay, I'm getting this done. And I did surgery on my phone. I replaced the battery.
Nice.
Works fine now.
If you want to come over and replace the hard drive on my desktop, from what Nags tells me, I think it needs to be replaced. So.
Yeah. Fly me up. I'll do it.
All right. Sounds good.
I actually have done that with my Mac Mini. I've got a
really
an solid state drive.
Okay. Okay.
And I've added RAM. I've done all that kind of stuff. I don't know what the hell I'm doing, you know. But I only lost one screw, but it doesn't matter because it was on a little portion where there were actually four screws. So I'm minus one. But
okay.
I tell you what, those screws are so unbelievably small.
Yes.
But just like, it's just crazy. You can do it. And the guy, I watched the video, you know, tutorial, YouTube, of course.
Yeah.
And he's like, skip. It was like, do it in 3 minutes. I'm like, yeah, this is going to take 300 minutes.
Right.
Because he was like, he wasn't showing all the steps of when you drop the screw and it rolled all over the place.
Right.
I'd only lost one. And literally, I didn't even lose it in a way that I just literally, they were all in one spot. I poured like this. And I'm like, four became three. And I'm like, I didn't hear it. I didn't see it. It was so small. It didn't go anywhere. So,
yeah.
But that was kind of nice to have fixed. I guessed right. And I took that phone. I took that battery out. And I just wanted to, like, let everyone know, like, because I was happy to have made it back. I had to, like, really scramble.
Yeah.
Took it out. Drove down the street. Got to the seminar. 15 minutes later, pulled it out of my pocket. It was still almost so hot you couldn't hold on to it.
Damn.
I'm surprised I didn't damage my phone if I'd have kept trying to do what I was doing.
Yeah.
It was hot for like an hour.
Oh my God.
Crazy. Yeah. Anyway.
Huh. Hey,
so you can do that.
I got one more side note too that I wanted to tell you. So, after my last contest, you and Jordan and myself analyzed my physique. I asked you guys like, hey, you know, what do I do for my back? You know, we looked at my back. And through the rhomboids, inner back, there was some pretty decent thickness compared to the width, it was a lot better. And so we talked about like how to bring the lats up, you know, to get more of that like wide V shape, because whatever I was doing, it just wasn't hitting them. You know, it was just hitting more and more rhomboid, more and more thickness. So one of the solutions, and this is, I guess, a recap for anybody listening that doesn't go back that far with Muscle Minds, you know, it was almost saying like a pre-activation, a pre-fatigue, that one idea that you had given me, Scott, was to do pullovers before I got into the rest of the workout. I did utilize that a lot, and I did stuff like supersetting pullovers with pull downs before I got started. At this point, I want to tell you, so with my back workout, it's two times a week, and I only do two exercises for back. And by the time I'm done with the first exercise, my lats almost, like, they start to feel sore already. Like, I'm hitting them that hard. And it's all through, like, the armpit now, all the way, like, all that outside, like, all through here. This is all
major and lat somewhat.
It's all sore. Like, that is sore to me now, which... That used to be really hard to hit. I mean, if I did 1,000 pull-ups, I'd get that. But,
right.
You know, everything else would be even more junk torched.
Volume, you'd eventually get there. But 1,000 is excessive, yeah.
Right, right. You know, I'm exaggerating. But now I can really surgically get in there. And I'd say for several months now, that was the beginning of 2018. So we're talking over a year now, that I've been doing that. But now I'm at a point where I can do that. And then say I start with pull downs. I do, whatever I'm going to do there. I go over to dumbbell rows next. Now I still feel it in those dumbbell rows. Before, I didn't feel it in that outer lat, at all. So, with a dumbbell row. But now it's like it's really getting activated in a way it never had before. It's almost as if, I think about like how there was a time when my hamstrings were weak and I'd try to get them to grow, but I couldn't because I couldn't fire them really well. And it wasn't until, I started training with Shelby. We did some leg work together. He had me doing like a lot of really hard forced squeezes. And after I contracted the muscle so many times, really hard as I could, that mind muscle connection got better and better. And then I eventually got to a point where I could squeeze my hamstrings so hard and they've grown now. My legs are definitely, I'd say probably one of my best body parts, them and chest. I think the back's it's got to grow now. It's just got to, man, because now I'm hitting a muscle like I never have.
In pictures like that's like you you're, it, I'm waiting for you to say like I feel it, and now you've looked at comparison photos.
I do see the difference, but I'm also though not I feel like I'd have to be in the same dieted state as I want to compare it to when I'm lean. I guess it's hard
you're
for
lean
me to,
now I just saw a picture of you. What are you fucking talking about?
I real lean, I guess, but yeah I mean I haven't done a comparison a side by side, but I mean, I could definitely tell, like looking at pictures of my back, it's definitely different. But the key is now I feel like it's not even seeing the difference. It's knowing that I'm positive the difference is happening now just by the way that the muscle feels. Like there's no question in my mind. It feels good.
Yeah. You can tell when a muscle is sort of growing that way and how it feels. I mean, how your clothes fit, of course.
Sure.
Things, but just how it pumps up, how it feels pumped up in the gym.
Yeah.
All the proprioceptive information you get from a larger versus a smaller muscle. It's almost like the difference between feeling whether you're flat or full.
Yeah.
Very much like that. And I was going to say too, like when you're doing, like you can do rowing movements and make them more lat width oriented and hit the outer lats just by keeping your elbows down towards your side. It's the angle at the humerus of the angle at the shoulder joint of the humerus largely determines what muscles are involved in the pulling or the rowing motion that you're doing. So
yeah, and
you may have gotten better at doing those rows to make those into lat movements.
I think I have now. Yeah. So I've been excited. I've been meaning to tell you that for a while. So
yeah, that's awesome. I want to see the pictures then, like because you are lean now. I saw like literally, I think. I know Joe Binley, I think it was this morning, I maybe even saw it on Facebook. Your leg shot and your quads look bigger.
Thanks, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, they're breaking legs.
Yeah, that was on an upper body day too.
Okay. Yeah. It wasn't a leg day. So yeah, your quads definitely look bigger.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, they're definitely decent. They're good right now, and you know everything's looking decent. I'm happy with it. I still think back width is still the weakness, but I guess it's a big muscle too. You know what I mean? It's like I could improve it, but it's not gonna be fixed overnight, I guess,
Mm-hmm. Do you ever do pull downs in the 40 in the cross cable machine like this? Basically?
I have not. No.
Like
I've seen it. I know what you're talking about.
Pull downs, when they call them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Those work phenomenally. Those work really well, especially if you use them supinated and drive your elbows right down, like you're trying to put them in your back pockets.
Yeah. I can see that.
Change the angle of your torso and the arch of your back.
Yeah. I can see that. Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. Those are phenomenal. I did those for like 3 years straight at one point, not too long ago, and noticed a difference. And in my muscle connection.
I'm going to try that this week.
Yeah, it'll be like, holy shit. I've had people who haven't done those. They're like, oh my God.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, what was I going to say? There was a machine. I'm trying to think there was a machine. Oh, they had they have one of these here in town, an ab machine that's a leg lift machine it's at the North Powerhouse, but it's so, has so much friction in it, it's not even worth using.
Okay.
But basically, you start lying flat with your knees sort of bent. You hook them in.
Yeah.
And you basically do, it's a reverse crunch machine.
Yeah, okay. Right.
And they have been, Dylan has one of those at Arbus Pro. I'm like, well, I'll give this one a shot. I'll do it. And it's been kept up and it's smooth. And I was reminded of it because it felt different than any other exercise I've done for my abs. I've done a lot of reverse crunches, but this one was unique because it involves a lot of hip flexion. Yeah. But still, the way the machine is constructed and the rotation that's involved just sort of forces you to do the spinal flexion that rectus abdominis is in charge of doing.
Okay.
So if you can find one of those,
yeah,
it was. I was like, holy shit! I mean, I would be using this every single day if I were here because it's like brand spanking new. So hopefully, you'll have that same kind of like. Well, this is a whole other category of exercises pulling because you're pulling from 45 degrees out.
Mm-hmm.
And so the angle of the pull is allows you to really relax your arms, and it just sort of forces you to bring the weight down using just the lats.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Yeah, and what you might call frontal plane adduction, I guess.
Okay.
So
yeah.
Just drive your elbows into your back pockets.
Yeah,
usually superhuman grip helps. So
I'm already visualizing. If we go to the YMCA that's in Victoria's little town. They have a cable crossover that I can use. We may not go there. There's another gym we might go to, but I'm already visualizing being there and doing that. That'll be my next workout.
They're great. Yeah, they're badass.
Let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we are going to talk some coronavirus. Guys, we'll see you in a minute. Hey, guys. Why are you using sports nutrition that was designed for someone else? At TrueNutrition.com, they offer the world's largest selection of quality protein powders, and they let you design your own custom blend from a variety of powders, flavors, boosts, and packaging options, like the Team Skip blend, for instance. That's over 20 billion possible combinations to create a protein powder tailored to your diet, your goals, your tastes, and your budget. TrueNutrition.com also offers the ability to create delicious custom oatmeal blends. And they're third-party tested, proving that all their supplements are ensured to have the highest level of quality and value. Don't be a sucker and pay for fancy packaging and gimmicks. Discover the source that bodybuilders trust and stop using mass-produced nutrition that wasn't designed for you. TrueNutrition.com. And use our code ADVICES at checkout to let them know that you support the shows.
Guys, welcome back to Muscle Minds with Dr. Scott Stevenson. Thanks for bearing with us through our commercial break. And we got some actual True Nutrition commercials here. Today, we're going to talk about a topic I know very little about, and that is chronotypes. So, Scott, give me your thoughts on chronotypes.
Scott, what is a chronotype? You even know what I mean?
I don't, man.
No, I didn't think so.
I don't.
Just throwing that out. It's just something I wanted to kind of introduce a topic that I've touched on before that I think is really quite fascinating. So everyone knows about the circadian rhythm, and this is probably an offshoot of some of my sleep issues, trying to really do a better job of training my circadian rhythm. So just some basic information. People talk about the suprachiasmatic nucleus, which is basically sort of called the pacemaker. It's part of the hypothalamus. So this is a nucleus of neurons, the optic chiasma. So people know that what comes in from one eye goes to the opposite side of the brain. So there's a crossing. Chiasm refers to like an X. So this chiasm, just above that crossing, supra to the chiasm of that optic nerve's crossing, is the nucleus of cells that just regulates everything from melatonin and what have you. It's sort of like the central pacemaker in the brain.
Okay.
So that's super important. Your brain, your body's biorhythms, yet your circadian rhythm gets reset by light. Everyone knows this. People talk about like trying to travel overseas and light exposure and using melatonin to entrain things and that sort of thing as well. Well, the thing that I had sort of figured out before I even knew that this literature, there's a huge body of literature out there that I've just kind of stuck my pinky toe into, is that food entrains this as well.
Hmm.
And which makes total sense. I mean, we're on a 24-hour cycle, roughly. Actually, the body runs on a 25-hour cycle, and the exposure to light sets it up, basically resets every single day. And this is what allows, of course, to have light-dark cycles that shift with the seasons, because it's not always the same light and dark, depending on whether it's winter or summer. Stay awake. You're getting drowsy there. I see your eyes going half-mast with me.
I'm with you.
Food does that, too. So they can do this with rats.
Okay.
How do they get their food?
You mean in the wild?
To characterize rats, what kind of...
scavengers?
Are they predators? They're scavengers, yes.
Okay.
So when they've got food they got to go get, they're scavenging for that food. So what they can do with rats, this is really freaking cool, they provide them food at one particular time of the day. So they would get their food from scavenging. And then the next day, their activity levels are increased at that time of day.
Okay.
They can entrain their activity because let's say that, you know, the scavenging happens because it's in line with some other predator that leaves scraps from its kill around. And then the scavengers go in and they take their share of what's left over. And maybe that's, I'm going to just make something. Maybe that's some sort of predator that can prey better when the sun is setting at a certain time of the day, because the animals it's preying upon can't see it as it's approaching because they're blinded by the sun or the wind is a certain way. So every day at, you know, close to sunset, there's a kill that was when the rats would normally be able to scavenge. Well, it makes sense for their circadian rhythm to be aware of the fact that this is the time when I'm going to more than likely have some food. There's some sort of a daily pattern that's probably going to evolve here.
Yeah.
So you can give rats in the lab food, and the next day their spontaneous activity, basically setting them into scavenging mode, like literally the gear shift goes into scavenge, move around more, increases.
Yeah.
And that stays in place.
Hmm.
So how that relates to bodybuilding, this is what I've done. It's one of the, it's become a very, very, very useful strategy for help, especially when people want to eat more food, is I use nutrient timing with the peri and post-workout window, so to speak.
Okay.
So intra-workout nutrition, one or two meals afterwards. And I build that up as one of the main ways to increase off-season calories.
Yeah.
And then eventually that can become just so large that a person can't eat any more food during that time. And I'll add food to the non-training days. If it's fortitude training, there's three non-training days and four training days. So if you're training 6 days a week, then which your non-training day doesn't matter so much. But what happens, and I've seen this myself for decades now, is that you entrain your eating pattern with the day. So you may start off, and it's like if you train it, you know, after work and 7 o'clock, you're not that hungry. If you start eating more at 7 o'clock, you get better at eating at 7 o'clock.
I've noticed that. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So this is all takes place, and you can if you keep with building upon that entrainment that happens with the food. It happens in the animal world. It happens in all sorts of ways. You can basically make yourself into a food eating machine if that's an issue for you. So, like, one of the things that people try to do sometimes is like they try to make sure they're always getting, they'll break up their six meals or what have you. And eventually, when you get to where you're eating 6,000 calories, it may have to be 1,000 calorie meals.
That's a lot.
Nothing you can do about it. Yeah. But if you're building up, and let's say you don't want to be drowsy at work because you get from eating those big meals, this is a strategy I'm telling people about where they can actually start eating those larger meals and recognize that their body will get used to that. And I've seen this with clients who are able to be putting down 1,000, 1,200 grams of carbs at night in those two meals and being amazed at how well they can do that. So it's not that you're becoming an intermittent faster and you're not eating anything until that time, but you keep your other meals reasonable, keep your protein there, keep those meals the same, and then build upon those only when you start to fill out that other meal. But I found that you can literally go for a large part, if not almost all, of the off season, just adding and making use of this. And the cool thing about this is that literally all of our cells there are molecular clocks. So there are genes that get turned on that will function on a 24-hour cycle in the cells themselves.
Okay, really?
So there's you have genes that express the code for the proteins for various enzymes metabolism. There are genes that are directing those sorts of things that are involved in training all of this.
That makes sense.
So it's not just like all in your head.
Yeah.
It's not just all in your suprachiasmatic nucleus. Literally, the cells of your body have molecular clocks.
Huh.
And so they can imagine like the clockwork, you know, they go to the clockmaker and he's got clocks all over the wall where they all start getting and trained and synchronized. And you almost could get sort of what you call maybe a resonance pattern there.
Hmm.
You know? Resonance frequency. So it's a really, really cool way to add food. And the thing, so this leads me to the idea of chronotypes, because I'm trying to figure out, what's going on. It's funny that I got the answer that I did. And then this is where maybe, I don't know if you can throw that PDF up that I sent you in
sure thing.
Text message. Yeah.
So we're on the first page here.
It's been around. I think, look and see, like 1973 is when the 76. So that's a morning, evening questionnaire, an MEQ questionnaire. Morning type, evening type, or you could also be a neither type questionnaire. Oops. It's basically a self-assessment. The questions are very obvious. I don't know if it's up now.
You know what? I got to do it a different way, it looks like. I drug it in, but I think we're going to do it through a screen share. That'll work better. Because I can't scroll through it. Which page do you want on it?
Just the first one, just to see. You know, you'll see. You scroll down to the second or third page.
Okay.
And I'm going to send you this link here as well. We can put the link maybe where we post the podcast so people can download this thing.
Ah, okay.
So some people, and this is like everyone knows this, right? There are morning people and there are people who aren't morning people.
Sure.
And then there are people who just like tend to want to stay up late continuously. Just like, and then those that are in between. Well, basically, this questionnaire has been used now for quite some time.
Okay.
And you'll find in general, this is what's kind of interesting. You'll find in general when you look at sports performances that most people will do better, kind of on the average at least, is in the afternoon. Look at the sort of the sum of the whole body of literature is that athletic performance just in general seems to be have a peak at that point in time.
Okay.
But it's not true for everyone. There are morning people, and you can use this questionnaire to ascertain where you are. You just basically answer the questions, sum your total number, and then it puts you along a scale from sort of being either a pure morning person to somewhat of a morning person to being someone who's neutral. Or more of an evening person. Those evening people, of course, are the ones who can sleep until noon. This would be Ken Skip.
Right.
Right. I mean, Ken Hill. So I presume he's probably adapted to some degree, but I imagine if he were a true morning person, where he was like, rise and shine at 5 and get after it, Jocko Willink is probably in a morning chronotype.
Okay.
You know who Jocko Willink is?
Mm-mm.
A lot of people listening probably will. Navy SEAL. He's got his own podcast.
Wrote a
book called Extreme Ownership.
I've heard of him, yeah.
Yeah. He actually got interviewed on that Peter Attia, The Drive podcast.
Okay.
Because everyone wanted to know, he's really big on like just get up and get after it.
And that might not work for everybody is what you're saying.
No. Well, there's some sleep deprivation that would have to take place for many people to do that. And he knowingly does that. And he's just kind of a hardcore guy. He's got a very strong-willed mind, so he can do those sorts of things. But people were kind of like laying into him at one point in time, saying, "Dude, you're giving people advice that can really have an ill effect on their health."
Yeah.
So he got on the Peter Attia Drive podcast and sort of answered that question. People can listen to that. But he's someone who gets up in the morning. Gets up at like 4, and he does like a. He has like this full body workout. He's squatting or he's doing like 500 push-ups right in a row or what have you.
Wow.
He's kind of a super badass, a superhuman.
Okay.
Essentially, you can check him out. But so you can look at that and it may help some people out. That's why I kind of brought it. I'm neutral. as it turns out. So I answered the questions as best I could. You'll see that some of them, it sort of asks you as to how you feel at different times. Like when you wake up, do you feel fully rested? How long does it take you to feel? Or in the first half hour, do you feel slightly groggy, extremely tired, not very tired, fully awake? So those sorts of questions, of course, can reflect what sort of a chronotype you are. So chrono referring to time, like a chronograph. That's where the stem chrono comes from. So this isn't somatotypes. These are chronotypes, what time type you are. Or it could be the fact that if you're sleep deprived, no matter what, but anytime you get up, you're going to feel tired because you're lacking in sleep, generally speaking.
Yeah.
So this could help some people, I think, figure out maybe why they're, if they're battling what seems to be an accepted scientific phenomenon that some people are more morning oriented and some people are more evening oriented. And some people can do fine. And this is where it's sort of interesting because, and I still have to dig some deeper, a little bit deeper to see this, is like it basically suggests that it's okay for some people to not get up and with the sun and go to sleep with the sun. You know, but that's because that's the light dark cycle. Some people are just more inclined to be more leading type. And I want to see where people, where the scientists are in terms of speculating whether that evening type is something that was that sort of evolved. It would make sense to have some variability to a certain degree among humans.
Yeah.
Let's say you have to keep watch. Like you want to have some people that are early risers, so they can sort of, you know, be on the lookout for whatever threats might come upon a tribe, and you want to have some that, you know, don't mind staying up late,
right,
up by the fire, you know,
watching.
Waiting for whatever might come around.
Which I was raised, I'm sure you were probably raised too, to think that the healthy thing, the responsible thing, is to be a morning person, is to get up early, and you know, and I mean that's a lot of the way society is run too. That, you know, you get up early, you go to work, you know, you're done by, you know, 5 o'clock, you go home, you do your thing, and then you go to bed. You know, that's
right.
So you're saying that that doesn't necessarily mean that's what you have to do in order to be healthy. Like you could naturally stay up later. You could naturally, because I remember I thought Victoria was saying something about like that staying up, like shift workers, nighttime stuff like that. That it could be, you know, more detrimental to your health for people on a night shift than it would be for you know, somebody who does like the 9-to-5 thing.
Well, you said a lot there. One, we're both from the Midwest. You know, agriculture, agrarian communities.
Yeah.
If you got to get up and like, there's just things that have to be taken care of early in the day. If it gets too hot in the afternoon, you don't want to be out there.
Yeah.
Like if you go, of course you go to Mexico, there everyone's taking siestas.
Yeah.
It's too damn hot. So you have to get up early to do that. So that's what's interesting is some of it is, you know, to what extent, like as an extreme example, the Tohono O'odham, I've mentioned before on the podcast, are a tribe of Native Americans. They call them the Pima Indians, sort of colloquially, in Arizona. And they have horrendous rates of diabetes and obesity. And it seems the reason put forth that makes the most obvious sense is that because it's a damn hot, dry desert where food can often be lacking, the thrifty genes were selected for in those individuals, which means anytime you have some food, store any little itty bitty bit that's extra, just because it's a very good chance there's not going to be a lot of food around in the near future. Well, now that there's plenty of food to eat, and the thrifty genes are not a very healthy thing to have.
Yeah, you're storing everything.
So here's the thing: relate that back to chronotype. We've only been like agriculture's only been around for like 10 or 12,000 years now.
Yeah.
So we were basically hunter gatherers, what most of the lines of evidence that I'm aware of kind of lead to, until that, you know, came to be. And then there's some possibility of some genetic shifting happening there, but with the world being as small as it is now and so many people, you know, being sort of intermingled genetically, I don't know how many isolated gene pools we have. Where that, let's say, like down in Mexico, or some hot place, where you wouldn't want to be working in the afternoon because it's too damn hot,
right,
that you might find people there that have a chronotype, maybe even outside the ones we're talking about, that makes them naturally want to have an afternoon nap. So you take that same group of people and you move them to Alaska or the North Pole, they're still going to want to take a nap in the afternoon because that's their genetic proclivity based on what nature sort of imposed upon them.
Yeah.
Selectively. So anyway, so that's the you know, get up in the morning early, you know, and like go to and get your work done. That like that comes from farming communities and that sort of stuff. Mm. So it's not, so that's part of that, I think. So,
okay. I could see that.
So, but the other thing with shift working, if you're on like a swing shift, that's fucking horrible because you're never getting settled anywhere.
Yeah.
That's terrible because you're always, you know, moving. That's bad. But if you're on a night shift, just like basically anything, this is one of the talks they give this weekend, there's going to be some variation as to how well people can handle that. So there's another podcaster who literally, like, he will sometimes work all night long.
Okay.
He'll send a text message at 8 a.m., and that's not because he's getting up. It's because he's going to bed.
It sounds like Skip. I talk to Skip in the morning sometimes, 8 a.m., 9 a.m., and he's like, all right, yeah, let's talk about it after I get up.
Right, yeah, and he does that. He did that so that he could spend time with his kids. He had various reasons, but he's naturally inclined to do that.
Yeah.
Like that has to set well with him in some way, shape, or form. It's not like, you know, he's constantly forcing himself.
Yeah.
I wouldn't think. He just likes that.
So, no, that would ruin me. You know what I mean? Like we talked earlier about like taking a red eye. If I do that, if I flew in Sunday night to Monday morning, I would be wrecked for a day at least.
Yeah. So a shift worker who's an evening type, like a really extreme end of the range evening type, like maybe Ken is, and that's the thing, these questionnaires too, they're not going to be able to get purely at what your natural proclivity is, because where you feel comfortable, where you feel tired, and where you feel alert is going to be a function of what you've been used to doing.
Yeah.
So your body's been resetting itself repeatedly over time.
That makes sense.
And you're, yeah, so like someone's always up and you ask them, so how do you, you know, when is your energy level the best? Or if you had to take care of a task, and that's what they have in that questionnaire, you know, would you rather do it? And they give different blocks of time. Well, that's going to be a function of what time you're normally awake.
Yeah.
No, you're not going to say like 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. if that's normally at the very end of your day, because you're normally working a night shift.
Right.
So, but if you had, but they also have some nice questions in there. And this is where it's a nice questionnaire where they said, if you could just pick your best time, like if you had no other constraints, no other responsibilities, phrase something like that, what time would you go to bed and what time would you wake up? So I have the sense and that there are many people who are able to make use of sort of these inborn circadian rhythm resetting mechanisms to some degree, because we're very, very adaptable as human beings. But at the same time, have a genetic proclivity to have a particular chronotype, and they may be battling against that. So, like, let's say, you know, they got to get up and train at 5 in the morning, got to do it, you know. They may have no choice because they got to go to work or what have you. But, yeah, you can get used to that, and you can do that, but it may not be the best thing for you in terms of your workouts and your adaptation and everything else.
Yeah.
So if that gives anyone any insight, I think that's cool. That's why I wanted to put that out there. So I was looking to that. I ended up being neutral.
Okay.
So I wasn't neither a morning type or an evening type. And I have the sense that I will tend to stay up later if I kind of let myself and sleep in later. But I can't. I've never been someone who can like sleep till noon.
Mm. Let me ask you, before you took the survey, where did you think you would fall in?
I wasn't really sure, to be honest, because like when I was in, like for about 10, I have to go back and I could add the years together, but for like when I was in, like when I was in Tucson, like when I was in grad school or when I was in acupuncture school there, Dave Henry and I were training, and that was a 3-year stint, and I was in school in the summers as well. There were some times when his shift changed because they would just put him wherever they wanted him. But, you know, we were training at least 3/4 of that time together. And I think we met at the gym at like 5:30 maybe.
Okay.
It's fine. And I trained in grad school at the butt crack of dawn.
Yeah.
as well. Like, I got up and trained early, like, everything opened. I was the one of the morning people, you know. We were waiting the door to open and everyone go in and do their thing. So I did, for like 10, 15 years, I trained early in the morning because I just had other shit that had to happen. And now I train normally like late morning, mid-afternoon, because the gyms are empty.
Yeah,
and get away from people.
That's what I do too. Yeah, it is. It's nice. Plus, I've had a couple meals in me, and you know, I'm in a good place. Versus, you know, Skip. On the other hand, it'd be great if we had him on here right now, because he told us one time about how he was doing some fasted training. It happened to be the way his life worked at that moment. And it's, he said he was doing DC training at the time, and years and years ago, he said he made some of his best gains ever, getting up first thing in the morning and going to train right away. No food. Yeah.
I don't have to eat.
But I mean though, like, considering that otherwise he seems like a night guy to us. He's also excelled at getting up and going straight to the gym first thing in the morning and pushing, you know?
Well, I mean, but fasted doesn't have to mean the morning. It just means after a night's sleep. So he was probably training at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, but he was training fasted.
I think it was morning time for him, like work. He had work to do. And it was like
way back then.
Yeah. Years and years ago. Yeah. He had to get to work and stuff, so he went to the gym, that type of thing. So he was doing it, first thing in the morning, early, before he went to work. So, it was like his only window he had. So, but just interesting.
I don't know why the gains would have been better, but for him, if he was, so let's say he's a true, like, extreme evening type.
Yeah.
So during the day, like, that would have been when he would normally be sleeping a lot of that time.
Yeah.
So maybe getting up at, like, 5 in the morning was, like, would have been like a good part of the time of the day in the 24-hour cycle for him to train, and the rest of the day when he's like forcing himself through work, he was having to battle fatigue.
Possibly,
His energy levels were high just because it was that time of the day, and that's, you know, he goes to sleep at like 8 or 9 sometimes in the morning, I think.
Sometimes, yeah.
So, like, training at 5 or 4. If you look at the average where people do the best in the late afternoons, I mean, that's the latter half of the day. For him, if he's naturally meant to be up all night long, he's an extreme evening type, then buck crack of dawn or before the sun's even come up is actually the latter half of his natural day as an evening type.
That would be like us. That would be like us going at 7 p.m. or something, you know?
Yeah, right. And that's not far off. Late afternoon, like 4 to 4 o'clock or something like that, is kind of the sweet spot, I think.
That's what I've heard.
But that's on average. That's on average.
Yeah.
That's the thing. So, like, if you look at the chrono, it would be interesting to go back, because they can't regather those subjects, and go back and, you know, could reanalyze data and ask what their chronotype is. And that's a thing to do, like, with some of those studies, and I have to go back and look at them. I've never seen that. I've looked at the literature, but not intensely, and it's been a while, but. So there's a huge issue there. Like, people have asked me, like, when's the best time of the day to train?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, the research kind of says this, but if you feel like ass and you want to take a nap at 4 o'clock, then don't try to train then.
Right.
You know yourself. So that's like kind of what it comes down to, despite what some research tells you, what some expert tells you as to what's best or what's worst.
Yeah. I'll be sure to include this link, guys. So go to the show notes. If you don't see it, go to advicesradio.com. Sometimes I've noticed the IT guy has been cutting off some of our show notes on iTunes and on YouTube. So, I'm going to talk to him about that, but I'll take all the time to go through, and a lot of times even timestamp stuff, and it'll be like 2 sentences at the top and then like 8 timestamps, and then, you know, presented by blah, 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 you know, and, you know, Scott Stevenson, reach out to him, you know, here, get the book. All that stuff seems to be cut off. So I'll talk to him. If you don't see it though, it's always all up at the website, so you can see it there for sure. Mm-hmm. So I'll be sure to post this up, and, we can all kind of, I don't know how much, you know, it's good to have that information. Good to learn about ourselves. I'm excited. I'm going to fill this out after the show.
Yeah. It only takes, I was thinking about having you do it here, cause it's brand new to you.
Yeah.
And see, you know, see what you end up as. But, I think I'm probably just really flexible, and it's hard for me to know, cause I'm tired a lot anyway. So, some of those questions really don't discern. Like, when do you feel best? Do you feel good when you wake up in the morning? It's like, no, I'm sleep deprived. Of course I don't feel good.
right.
It's not going to work. So that was my little spiel on chronotypes. And it's absolutely fascinating. Just the fact that all those cells have these molecular clocks, but the muscle cells do.
Yeah.
Where, like, literally the ebb and flow of the genetic expression in all of our cells is a function of what's going on during the day. And that's connected with the hormones. It's connected with our circadian clock in the form of the suprachiasmatic nucleus in the brain. Of course, melatonin's involved there. So, and we're just totally throwing shit out of whack.
Yeah.
So many ways.
Skip just texted
constant
me.
Constant exposure to light. Almost. Yeah.
Skip. So that tells me he just woke up right now at 2:30.
Just woke up. Yeah.
Yeah. 2:30 in the afternoon for us. This is morning time for him.
Is he watching the show, or is he respond, or just happened to text you?
He just happened to text. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, ask him whether he feels like his normal, like, I'll let you type however you like, but basically ask him if he feels like he's in a normal rhythm, the way he works and sleeps now, or if he's had to constrain himself to this and now he just does it because it helps with efficiency and what have you.
Okay.
If he had no, if he won the lotto and $1 billion, would he still, you know, stick to this daily
question? I'll say, question for you, period. And I also said, we are recording Muscle Minds. Let me say right now, question for you. If you won the lottery and didn't have to work anymore, comma, would you still sleep on the schedule you do, comma, or is this due to the best efficiency?
Does this optimize your work?
Or okay. Or is it just to optimize work efficiency? ? All right.
They don't want to put any words. It's interesting that if you read that questionnaire, they say, give your most spontaneous answer to go back and check your work. Just answer it.
Interesting.
Move forward. Huh. Yeah, which is how most of those are supposed to be done. Like, they want to get your immediate first impression. Yeah. Then you start thinking, like, what I've been doing, like, well, just because I'm sleep deprived or what have you, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
You can invalidate a questionnaire when it's been administered, people can't go back and change their answers, and then you take it and you allow people to go back and change things. That's not the same questionnaire anymore.
That makes sense.
They're taking their later answers and they're taking whatever cognition they have about what people are trying to figure out about them.
Yeah.
And then they're going back and they're changing things, so it's no longer administered in the same way.
We might not get a good answer at this moment, or any answer.
He doesn't respond right away. Yeah.
Yeah. You
know,
he's a little groggy, I'm sure.
Right. Of course.
It's just waking
up.
He
does a little groggy when he gets up too. So.
Yeah. He's gotten up early when we would record Blood, Sweat, and Gear in the afternoon at 1 o'clock. He would always have to wake up early for that. And he would need a half hour or so to kind of get, because he didn't wake up a half hour early. He would wake up and then he would want a little time to, like, kind of talk himself awake, you know, for the morning and stuff.
And that tells me that, you know, he's not, like, sort of spontaneously waking up, or I think he's just kind of groggy when he gets up, that there's something about this schedule that is leaving him, you know, lacking in energy. Like, I mean, in the ideal world.
Yeah.
And I've had this before, like on vacation, or like every once in a while, you just sort of, like, you had a good night's sleep, you wake up, and you go from being asleep to being awake and feeling like $1 million. Right?
Yes, absolutely.
That's how it's supposed to be. Like, not like, oh, God, I got to get out of bed. Like, you know, like when people are like, I don't know if this was 76, so people had alarm clocks back then, but I think like a really good sign is whether you are like, if you're a snoozer.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you have to use the snooze.
Yeah.
They have those alarm clocks that, like, people put them across the room. And, like, they have all these, like, these built-in, like, they've adult-proofed the alarm clock to keep you from turning it off in a way that, you know, it will go no matter what.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't turn it off because people will, like, literally do that unconsciously because they want to sleep so bad.
Victoria has a very fancy alarm clock. It's a light. It's one of those ones that uses light to wake you up. So the room gets brighter and slowly, just like it would naturally, you know, the room, the light starts getting brighter and brighter and brighter.
The sun.
I've woken up and watched it getting brighter in her face while she's still asleep. Mm-hmm. And it just continues to get brighter and brighter and brighter until it's so bright that it's going to wake you up. It does eventually have like a chirp, or, you know, it sounds like birds and it's very subtle. There's no like lard sound, you know, nothing like that.
That's awful. That's the, that noise is just the worst thing.
Oh man. It makes my stomach drop when I hear that. You know?
I think that's the idea, is to like what a terrible way to start your day is to be irritated.
Right. Terrified.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Like, oh fuck.
That's the way I wake up to those too. Yeah.
Yeah. I forgot. I'm trying this out too.
So these are
blue blocking glasses.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not going to say what the brand is. All I know is I got 3-pack of these.
Okay.
So I have one I leave here next to the computer so I can like remember to put it on. Mm. I have one that's in the, sometimes I just, whatever I'm doing, I have another one in the bedroom.
Yeah.
If I happen to like lay down and watch my iPad a little bit, like watch it, just a movie. Literally I get about 5 minutes before I'm just like crashing, and I have another one I pack with my CPAP just so I'll have it when I travel. But, it's interesting because this, so I haven't, there's not much out there. I've talked to a couple people now on the idea, of course, is blue light is more, is the wavelength that tends to cause alertness and wakefulness.
Okay.
And that's, you know, the sky is blue.
Yeah.
You know, that's presumed that's, you know, the connection with our natural environment because the sky is blue. This actually makes everything kind of, another piece of information to why looking at the sun isn't something that anyone who survived did, because it makes everything orange. So orange lights aren't bad. Like everything looks orange. Many things look orange there. So you would think, oh, well, orange is like bright. Like that's the color of the sun. It's like, no, you're not supposed to be looking at the sun.
Right.
So those humans or those hominids who like stared at the sun incessantly, they didn't make it. Like nothing about staring into the sun made it into our genetic lineage.
Right. Those people got filtered out.
Yeah, that's like those got washed out of the gene pool.
Yeah.
But this is like, it's interesting because three of these was like $20 or $15.
Mm-hmm.
They're kind of a wraparound.
I see that.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you to try them on.
Oh, yeah.
They match your shirt, too.
They do, yeah.
You look like some sort of like new age Terminator right now. See you on your motorcycle with that out in the desert. Yeah.
There you go. Yeah, these actually wouldn't be bad, but the yellow lights, the yellow glasses help a lot with night vision.
Okay, yeah.
Huge effect for me. Yeah, I always wear those. Huh. I can't see shit at night.
Yeah.
Put on yellow glasses because you have to wear eyewear most states, I think. But so these wrap around, so like literally, unless I like intentionally look into my peripheral vision, I'm not getting much light in.
Yeah.
So some people here in town, I'm not going to give my it's actually making me feel a little groggy right now.
That quick, huh?
That's what people told me, and I'm like, and the person who recommended this to me told me that his partner felt that. They're probably watching it. Hi guys, I know you're probably watching this, or you will watch it. And I'm like, yeah. I wish they wouldn't have told me that. And I couldn't tell if it was from eye strain.
Yeah.
It really colorizes everything differently. So at first, it's disorienting.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, what am I looking at? You can't read what normally would be something would be easy to read and delineate. It's not, because it seems like the color spectrum is a little bit squashed.
Yeah.
And making everything orangish. But I've tried that. And the funny thing is that you can find some like blue blocking glasses that are like $150. You know, there's like, like stylish frames that are like $250, and they're like these eyeglasses.
Mm-hmm.
There's all sorts of light coming in from the periphery.
Mm, yeah,
I'm like, doesn't that somehow register?
Yeah,
I haven't seen it studied, but you think it would. And then I'm thinking to myself, and this is just the critical scientist in me. It's like, now really, how given the state of technology that we have with lenses and photography and everything else, how difficult is it just to come up with a medium that will block a particular wavelength and put that in plastic or glass?
Yeah.
That's not that going to be that expensive.
No.
And it's not, apparently. I mean, I haven't had this tested. I haven't, you know, I have not seen the spectral analysis on this particular one.
Uh-huh.
But I'm not seeing any blues come through there. That's my own, you know, spectral analysis.
Right.
So I'm thinking, I have no problem believing that this particular brand would be just as good as the ones that the people are selling for $150.
Yeah. So
especially if it says wraparound.
I was just at the optometrist last week and got my eyes checked. I'm going to get some new glasses and got some contacts. He offered me, and I haven't gone to look at the glasses yet, but he said they have a blue blocker that is built in to the glasses now that you can't see. It's trans. He said there is a slight hue, and he said he found that people that do a lot of graphic work, they don't like it because it'll shift everything just enough. He said normal people don't see it. But he said if you're doing graphic work where things have to be color matched and stuff, those are the only people he's ever heard complain because they can tell the difference. But it's something you can't look at. Like you would not know if I had it or not based off of just looking at me now from what I understand. I guess it almost gives like a slight purple hue to things, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah, I have the app on my Mac.
I was getting
F-Lux, I believe.
What's it called?
F-Lux, F period Lux.
Okay. They have the new Macs. It comes with it. It's just called...
built into the OS?
Yeah, it's called Night Shift.
Okay. Maybe I have that in my operating system. I'll have to go and see
my OS stuff today. You can set it to come on at, like, I have mine set to come on at 7 at night, and then it shuts off the following morning at 7. So it's funny because I can tell what time it is when I look at my screen and all of a sudden it's yellow. I'm like, oh, it's 7 p.m., you know?
Huh? Well, this F-Lux actually, it gradually shifts.
Ooh.
And I set it up. I think I had maybe uninstalled it or turned it off at one point in time.
Yeah.
And now it's come back on. But I believe it knows my time zone. It knows when the sun's coming up. It's communicating.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So you can see it slowly change the color of the screen.
Okay.
And if I haven't been sitting and working on the computer and you come in like, they do something, I sit down at like 10,
yeah,
which I don't do anymore. And I'm like, oh, I can't see shit. Like, what's going on? Why? It was kind of annoying. There will be some websites you'll pull up and literally the contrast is totally gone.
Mm.
So it sounds like what your optometrist is talking about is that they have, maybe there's some more recent research that's really fine tuned the specific nanometer wavelengths that are the important ones. And they just kind of narrow the spectrum to the, it's almost imperceptible.
I will. I'm going to try them on. I'm hesitant to get it. I don't want to commit to that when I'm purchasing glasses that I have to wear, you know. But I'm going to try them on at least. So I'll report back to tell you if I can see any difference. Also, I just got a message back from Skip. He says, it's only for work. I would still not go to bed early though.
Mm-hmm. So he's an evening type.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's pushing himself.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I mean, there's all sorts of things that disrupts, you know.
I would think.
You can't do anything in the mornings at all. Like, any events, not there's much going on, but like when I was there in the Miami area, and about a month or so ago, like we had brunch, and I think he had to get up early for that, but I would have liked to have gotten out of town earlier, but we had to wait, you know, for him to rise and shine.
Yeah.
So it was okay.
Yeah.
But still, you know, we couldn't have 9 o'clock breakfast because LSC just got to bed.
Yeah.
So I found the night shift.
You got it.
Option here. Okay. Yeah. Well, I'll schedule that and turn that on.
It sounds like yours is better though, the one that you have.
It could be. Yeah. I mean, I don't know what they'll. Hopefully, the one I have will. It was free.
Okay.
You know, maybe they'll communicate with one another. But I'll do them both and the glasses.
There you go. Don't fall asleep too early.
I did that last night.
Did you?
It backfired on. Yeah, I went to bed too early. I was so tired because I had like zero sleep.
Oh,
I still have nights where my Aura sleep ring tells me I had zero REM and zero deep sleep.
That's not good.
Yeah. So,
you know, not to plug a supplement just to like, for the sake of plugging it, but I have really enjoyed, the sleep stack from Supplement Needs that Dr. Dean St. Mark came up with. I used it for a couple weeks. I felt like it was working really well, but then I felt like, maybe I'm just used to this. Maybe it's a placebo. I stopped taking it altogether for about a month. I took it last night and boom, I woke up feeling great. Every time I take it, I feel great. So, something worth considering maybe is supplementation because what does it do? So, his ideas are to, first of all, clear the norepinephrine and dopamine so that your body can produce serotonin to then convert to melatonin. And then you could, you know, that to basically jumpstart the sleep cycle is his, mm-hmm. his point. I just made a post about it this morning, actually, because I woke up feeling so good. And then uses 5-HTP as well to help that serotonin along. So he's trying to mimic, I guess, what should happen, you know, during a standard sleep cycle. And none of it is like sedative type compounds. So mm-hmm. I don't know if it would have made me fall asleep. It's not like a drug. It's not like taking Ambien and you crash. But it supercharges my sleep, that's for sure.
I'm looking, I just pulled it up. I've actually just picked up, and I don't want to say anything about this because it could be big news if it pans out, but I just picked up the product. Yeah.
Okay.
That has all these things. It doesn't have the P5P. I don't even know what that is.
I believe P5P is B6.
Oh, okay.
I think it's a variation of.
Yeah.
But, I only know that because I had to ask too.
Phosphate. Yeah. I hadn't seen that acronym. Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. There's B5 in there. I'll compare this with what I have in the other one, but I think I've got all these things covered in what I'm using. But,
next episode, I'll try to remember. If I don't and you remember, give me an update. You know, we'll have a little bit of time between now and then. I'll be curious to know if you get something from it.
Sleepy time with Scott. Yeah. Well, I mean, some of this too is that I'm, you know, dieted down too. And like, that just, it's hard to sleep when you're, you know.
Yeah. I hear you on that.
You go to sleep at the wrong time. You like, you time your food, you go to sleep, you wake up hungry. It's like, now I'm fucked because I'm going to be just lying awake here hungry.
So you competed a little while ago now. You're still, are you still maintaining some leanness or what are you doing physique wise?
Well, I'm still pretty lean. Okay. I had someone saw me yesterday and said, holy shit, every time I see you, you're getting leaner.
Okay.
It's ridiculous. So, yeah, we'll see what happens on that front.
Interesting. All right.
Yeah. So, the sleep. So, maybe I'm just pissing and wind with all this, but I still, you know, have had, my sleep's never been great. So, when I get big, fat, and happy, and I have all these sleep strategies in place.
Yeah.
I'll be just sleeping like 20 hours a day. You'll have to like wake me up just for the podcast. The podcast from bed.
Perfect. I think that's
my prism glasses on. You know what those are?
No, I don't.
You've seen the movie Bucket List?
No, I didn't.
Oh, it's a great movie with what's his name? Anyway, Jackie Gleason. Not Jackie Gleason. I'm blanking on the guy's name, but prism glasses allow you to lie on your back and see what's along. So because of my neck, I can't, like, if I do that to, like, look at anything.
Yeah.
If I don't have a TV, but if I had a TV or usually it's my iPad, I just put it on my chest. If I did any neck flexion, that's what fucks my neck up. So I have these prism glasses that I put on.
No kidding.
They're like $12 on Amazon or something like that. I have several pairs of them.
Damn. And that way you can keep your neck upright.
Well, you just keep your neck in neutral position.
Yeah, that's what I mean. You keep it where it is. You keep yourself, you know, in alignment. You don't have to.
Yeah. Just lie flat, and then I'm seeing here. Yeah, they work great.
Never heard of that.
Yeah, prism glasses. Look them up. They're like, they've been a neck saver because the last time I went on a jag, I jagged out on some TV show. I don't know what it was when I still had TV.
Yeah.
And. Screwed my neck up bad. Learned my lesson the hard way. So since then, prism glasses.
All right. Well, on that note, guys, prism glasses. Let's get out of here. Get on with the day, and and let you take a nap if you put those glasses back on.
Then of course you take a nap, and it affects your sleep later. So I will fight through it until it's time to really sleep.
All right, guys, check out Scott's book. You can go to byobbcoach.com. That's where you can find the ebook. You can go to Barnes & Noble or Amazon. You can get the hardcover there, and that's also available internationally. Check out fortitudetraining.net, of course, for the Fortitude Training Guide. And Scott, when's the next seminar?
Dominican Republic.
Okay.
I just actually put something on Instagram.
Okay.
And I have a question for all those who may listen now or in the future. Post this wherever you can or get a hold of me. Message me any which way. I'm going to start selling some apparel.
Oh, nice.
Finally going to make this happen. So,
hell yeah.
You know, starting up is big. I don't want to like print out a whole bunch of t-shirts that no one buys.
Yeah.
People were begging for t-shirts. It's actually been available for years, but they're kind of pricey because they're print on demand. Well, this will be a regular t-shirt and tank top price.
Nice.
So the question is, I need to hear from men and women because I've got multiple possibilities. Various things. Do people want fortitude training, tank tops, and shirts? Yes. Or do they want to be your own bodybuilding coach? Where it says coach yourself, tank tops, and shirts.
It's a tough call.
Yeah. I could do, people would say, oh, I want both.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
It costs a good bit to like the initial investment. I want to give people what they immediately want.
Yeah.
I actually would like to do the fortitude training and do like a, if I can, like a pink camo. Oh, for the ladies.
Okay.
Like that. I have that maroon camo.
Yeah.
That I've used. People have seen me. I think I've worn that shirt at several of the seminars that I've done.
Yeah.
I just like the maroon camo. Maroon is the fortitude training color. So
I like
let
that
me
too.
Know what you, people want. Otherwise, yeah. And I could just do both logos on the same shirt too.
Yeah. You know, there's a lot. That's a lot to digest, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, so anyway.
Yeah. Fortitude I like that idea.
Yeah, so people, let me know, and then as soon as we have that information, we'll have shirts up in the next couple months.
That is kick-ass, and yeah. That I know is something that you are doing for the people, because t-shirts are not, that's not how you're going to get rich, making t-shirts. This is going to be, it's for the people that want them. So I think that's really cool, man, because I know that as a fan of podcasts and stuff, I've always loved, like, we've got the Advices Radio shirts, and I don't make anything off of them really, but they're great to have, because I know that in the past when I've seen shirts available by my favorite people and my favorite shows, it's always made me feel really cool, really happy when I could buy that unique little piece of merchandise. And then one day you are going to be in a gym wearing your Fortitude training shirt, like in a town, like farm from where you live. And somebody's going to walk up to you and they're going to be like, you know about Fortitude training? And they're going to be like, I know about Fortitude training. Do you listen to Muscle Minds? They're going to be like, I listen to Muscle Minds. And you're going to have a best friend. And it's all going to be because of that shirt. It happens with Advices Radio. People do that. They'll be like across the country and somebody will be like, hey.
Now they know your face, though. It used to be just the voice. Now they know your face.
True. Well, I mean, I have listeners that tell me, like, I was wearing the shirt.
And, oh, I know what you mean.
Yeah, okay. And I was
somewhere
on vacation.
Else, other than you or me.
Yeah, yeah.
Having that experience. Yeah.
And I was on vacation. I was in, or like, I was traveling. I was in Nebraska training while I was, on business. I was at a local gym, and somebody came up to me with the Bodybuilding Nerd shirt, or something like that. It's cool.
Right,
it's
on.
Cool.
That has happened. It was maybe a year and a half ago or so. I was in the gym.
Yeah.
And like in this group of four people, like two or three of them, I had talked to in the gym. I had conversations with.
Yeah.
And I just hear them. I'm going to warm up on something and I hear them and they're like, they're talking about muscle rounds.
Nice.
How to do muscle rounds. Like, oh, let's do a muscle round. And I know, like, I just listen and I'm like, what are you guys, what's these muscle rounds you guys are doing?
Yeah.
They're like, oh, it's like, so, do you know where that comes from?
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, I saw it on Instagram somewhere. I'm like, but like where the origin of that is? I don't think they even believe me. I think they thought I was full of shit when I mentioned that. And of course, Leo Costa is the originator of that, but people won't know who he is. But that people, like, I don't know if they even like truly at the time believed that I was like telling the truth. They thought me, I was just bullshitting.
Yeah.
So.
Like, I am Scott Stevenson. I know John Meadows. I know John Meadows. Sure you do, buddy.
That's happened too. That was cool. So Dominican Republic for the Swole Trinity.
When is that?
End of September, last Sorry. Week in September.
That's I got excited. I cut it off. I cut you off there. All right.
Oh, it's okay. I thought you meant you turned off the recording. I'm like,
no.
And then I will be, and this will be coming out sometime soon. I will be in Scotland.
Nice.
Edinburgh, at the end of November.
End of November. Wow.
2-day fortitude training super seminar.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
So UK folks.
Yeah.
It's going to happen.
That's badass, man. You've got a UK following too. I know that. I've talked to a lot of people from the UK that love you. So
yeah, that's Jordan and then Paul Scarborough got that going for me way back when.
Right on. Those are both cool dudes. Both great guys.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. That's all my news for now. That's all my plugging.
All right, guys. And of course, go to our sponsor, TrueNutrition.com. And as I always say, Advices, the code will get you some savings and helps to support what we are doing. For another episode of Muscle Minds with Dr. Scott Stevenson, I am Scott McNally. We will see you soon, very soon.
Yeah. Hills.